1, Job chapter 1, and very, very interesting passage. I know you've all read it before, but it just always fascinates me that God gave us this glimpse of something that took place in heaven, and it teaches us so much about the devil, about the Lord, about ourselves. So here in chapter 1 of Job, verse 6, the Bible says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Hast thou blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land? But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord." I'd like to entitle the message, "For Naught, For Naught." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we go to your precious and powerful word, we give this time to you. We pray the Holy Ghost will take the word and apply it to our hearts, meet needs, convict, do whatever's needed, Lord, but change us today through your word. May we leave and say it was good to be in the house of the Lord. May the Holy Spirit meet with us. May Jesus Christ be lifted up and magnified in all that's said and done. We give you this time. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. It's amazing that God would allow us to see this, and yet it teaches us a lot of things. It teaches us that the devil has access to heaven, which is quite fascinating when you think about it. But it explains in Revelation where the Bible says he's finally cast down to the earth and not allowed in heaven anymore. But it also shows how the Lord looks at us. And he was watching Job's life, and God himself referred to Job here in verse 8 as my servant. Now, my friend, there's no greater compliment that God could pay than to refer to us as his servant. There's not many people in the Bible that God referred to in this way. Keep your place here. Look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 25. But very rarely did God himself refer to someone as his servant. And Job was one of them. But notice Acts chapter 4, verse 25, we'll see another. Who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? In this sermon here from Peter, he referred back to an Old Testament passage, but he also referred to David as God's servant, David. And the Apostle Paul himself, if you go to Romans 1:1, if you haven't left the New Testament yet, I'll just read it. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God. We are here to be servants. We are here to serve God. We're here to please Him. We're here to glorify Him. We're here to do everything for Him. And Job, though he didn't have a copy of the Word of God, it wasn't written yet, still served the God of heaven. And the devil made a claim. And unfortunately, this claim would be true for some Christians. Notice verse 9, the Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? What does he mean by that? He means, does he fear you and serve you no matter what? No matter what comes into his life, no matter what trials may occur, will he do it, or does he just serve you, as he says in verse 10, you've made a hedge about him, Does he only serve you because his life is so blessed? Now what if the devil were to ask that question about each of us as God's children? Could we honestly say that we would serve God for naught? That it doesn't matter what happens. We're born again believers. We're going to heaven. And we're going to serve God no matter what comes into our lives. For naught. Think about that. Because I can tell you, life is never going to turn out the way we expect it to. The older we get, the more we learn that. Amen, old people. I wasn't referring to myself, of course. But it's just never. It's always going to throw us curveballs. Go to Proverbs 27. We expect our life to go a certain way, and that's not how it happens. Trials come that we don't expect. Family doesn't turn out the way we expect. Everything happens differently than we think it will. Notice Proverbs 27:1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. But we do. We do. We make our plans. We make our goals. We expect this is what's going to happen in a year, in 5 years, in 10 years. We have our 5 and 10 year plans. God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, because we don't know what's coming. Job didn't know what was coming. Not only was he a servant of the Lord, not only was he faithful, but he was about to face probably the most intense set of trials that any human's ever faced outside of Jesus Christ. He didn't know that was coming. And life is going to have plenty of trials. Go to Psalm 34:19, and we'll see this. God makes a beautiful promise here that we need to take to heart about trials. The Bible says, Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. God's promised us that we will have many afflictions. Didn't hear many amens. Many afflictions. It's going to happen. It's part of God's refining process. It's part of how God molds us and conforms us to the image of Jesus Christ. But will we serve God for naught? That's the question that Satan asked of the Lord. Will he serve you if you begin to take the hedge down and allow some rough times come into his life? Ask ourselves about ourselves. Would I serve God no matter what? He says there in verse 10 of our passage, hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. I will admit, the last time I read through Job and got here, it really struck home for me. I used to even thank the Lord many times. Lord, you've always blessed me. You've always put such a hedge about me. I shouldn't have used that word. And then the hedge just came down. And I thought for sure that was it. I was going to die of cancer and then more major trials. And then I had to praise the Lord for taking the hedge down for a little while to test me and try me. And he's going to do that. And he's going to do it for our good. That's the thing. And as you read through the book of Job, Job got to that point where he understood that, but he went through a lot of soul searching. He did get to the point where he made those great statements. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And there are things that we quote and are such a blessing to our heart. And he said them in the midst of amazing trials. But will we serve God for naught? There's a lot of fair weather Christians out there. And you know what the problem is? They're not serving God for the right reasons. Because if we're serving God because we love him and because we're so grateful that He saved us from hell and gave us eternal life and a home in heaven, those things never change. Our circumstances and our trials and life is going to change, but those facts, if we're born again through the blood of Jesus and going to heaven and have the presence of God in our lives, that never changes. And that should be enough to keep us going. That there are still lost people that need to hear the gospel. There's still a God that needs to be served. Those things never change. But the devil says here in verse 11, "Put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." Now that's a pretty strong accusation. Go to Revelation 12 and we'll see why the devil made this accusation. Because that's one of the things that he does. Could a believer in God curse God to his face? Absolutely. Give enough pressure, enough fire. It says in Revelation 12:10, "And I heard the loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." Praise God, we have an intercessor, the Lord Jesus Christ, who stands before God and shows him the prints of the nails in his hands and intercedes on our behalf. There is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Because the Bible said up until Revelation 12 that the devil accused us day and night. And we see an example of it here in Job chapter 1, where the devil actually accused Job of being a fair weather believer in God. "Will he serve you for naught? If you take the hedge down," because he was wealthy, he had a big family. As far as he could tell, his family all were trying to do the right thing. He even went and made sacrifices for the ones that might do something wrong just in case. He was healthy. It was all basically from a worldly perspective going pretty good. And the devil said, "If you take that hedge down, will you serve him? Will he still serve you?" The devil said, "I say that if you take that hedge down, he will curse you to your face." I'm glad the devil was wrong. Amen? Because Job did not curse God to his face. Now his wife told him that he should. Which is interesting. Go back to Job there in chapter 2. Or maybe it's chapter 1. But it's interesting that very same word. Yes, chapter 2 verse 9. When the devil took away Job's family, he left behind the wife. Interestingly enough. Because she was part of the trial too. Chapter 2 verse 9. "Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." There's that same word, curse. And so the devil was using his wife to try to get him to do exactly what the devil said he would do. He said, "He'll curse you to your face." And then later on his wife says, "Why don't you just curse God?" Verse 10, "He said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips." He says, "I'm going to serve God for naught." But what about us? Let's go to Psalm 119, see an example from the life of David. Now, David went through a lot of trials. We often think of David as being someone who was very blessed, and he was. But prior to becoming king, David went through a lot of trials. And then after becoming king, he went through some chastisement. But notice here in Psalm 119, verse 67, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." Look at verse 75. "I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me." David had learned. Sometimes the hedge comes down. Sometimes the fire comes. Will we serve God for naught? Keep your place here and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where Paul explained how he had learned this lesson. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. Notice the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 4:16, "For which cause we faint not, for though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Now look at verse 17. "For our light affliction." Now I don't know about you, but sometimes when those afflictions come, they don't seem very light. But you got to understand, from God's perspective, the Bible says, they're minor when you compare them to eternity. And he says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment." Again, sometimes the trials don't seem like a moment. Sometimes they go on for years. But from God's perspective, it is just a moment. And when we get to heaven, I forget which hymn it is, but we'll just smile when we think back on the trials. It's true. It says, "They worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Now that's God's perspective on trials. That they have a purpose. That they're working in our lives. That they're refining us. That they're growing us. And Paul understood and learned that. And David understood and learned that. And Job did. And they all came to a point in their lives where they decided, "I'm going to serve God for naught. It doesn't matter how bad the trial gets, whether or not God allows the hedge to come down, I'm just going to keep serving God." And that's when we find out what we're really made of. You know, it's easy to serve God when things are good. It's a little bit tougher. Go back to our passage. It's a little bit tougher when the, like it says in verse 12, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thine power." How often do we forget that it's all God's anyway? We don't own anything. We're just stewards. Right? The Bible just says we're stewards. Everything that we quote unquote own or possess, we don't own or possess it. It's all His. All God's. The air that we breathe is God's. Our house is God's. The ground that we walk on is God's. Our car is God's. It's all His. And if we will keep that in perspective, then if He takes some of it away, then we can realize, well, He just took away some of His stuff. It wasn't my stuff. "But all that He hath," He said, "is in thy power. Only upon Himself put not forth thine hand." And of course, that happened later when God allowed him to bring on the health issues. But God is completely sovereign, and we need to keep that in mind. Go to Genesis 19. We'll see an example of this. But how often do we quote Romans 8:28 to one another? "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Do we really believe that? Because if we do, then we can serve God for naught. When the hedge comes down, we can just keep serving God because it's for good. Genesis 19, notice verse 22. This is the story of Lot. And just to show the sovereignty of God, the angel said, "Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou come thither." What is that? The angel was saying to Lot, "I have the power to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone." That's a lot of power. "But I can't do it until you're out of the city." God's in control. And I can't exercise all this power and to do all this destruction until you're removed. Because God's in control. Amazing. A wicked sinner who we see no good acts. We get to the New Testament, we refer to as righteous Lot, just Lot. Because at a point in his life, he believed in the Lord. And the angel said, I can't do it. I can't destroy this city until you're removed. Look at that. Look at the sovereignty there. God is in control of those hedges. He is the one that decides when he wants to put them up and when he wants to take them down. And there may come a time in your life, you may already be in it, when God's decided to lower the hedge for a while and allow the devil to cause some problems in your life. And that's when you need to decide, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. That's when we need to decide. Let's go back there to Job 13 and verse 15. That's when we need to decide, I'm going to serve God for naught. We sing one of our praises songs that comes from this very phrase. Book 151, I think it is. Job 13:15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I maintain mine own ways before him. Okay, that's not it. But that's a great verse. Now look at Job 23:10. There it is. It says, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Doesn't the Bible say that's exactly what God's trying to do in our lives? Look over in 1 Peter chapter 1 and we'll see this. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 6. That's exactly what God is trying to do, is refine us to clean out the dross. He uses the fire to do it. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Notice it says in verse 7, tried with fire. If the rapture doesn't happen right away, there's going to be some more fire come in our lives. Will we serve God for naught? Because you know there's going to be somebody come along, go back to Job, and whisper in our ear, it'll be the devil. But you know what? The devil uses people. The devil here used Job's wife. And whisper in our ear like she did in Job 2:9, curse God and die. Why do you keep serving God? Why do you keep doing the right thing? Look how mean God's being to you. Look how he's treating you. He's allowing all this stuff to be taken out of your life. A loving God wouldn't do that sort of thing. And this is what the devil whispers. Curse God and die. We need to be like Job in Job 1:21. He says, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God's going to take. God's going to give. It's all his. I'm just going to keep blessing the name of the Lord. Because he's worthy of it. And he is. We can't lose our salvation. Hallelujah. We can't lose our home in heaven. We can't lose the Holy Spirit. We're sealed into the day of redemption. We can't lose any of the things that matter. So why should we lose our integrity, like his wife suggested? I mean, what a silly thing to say. for naught? That's the question. Will we serve God for naught? Now, all of this is meaningless if we're not born again, of course. If you're not saved, you can't serve God anyway. I mean, you can try, but it's for naught. You got to be a Christian first. If you're not a Christian, you don't have salvation. You don't have a home in heaven. You don't have the Holy Spirit. You don't have access to the throne of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. You don't have anything except a path to hell. But if you're a born-again Christian, you have everything. And it doesn't go away. Life just changes. Sometimes we get the hedge, and sometimes we don't. But will we serve God for naught? Think about it. Let's pray.